are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And on this episode, we got a special crossover episode with Millard Thomas of Locked On D-backs. Reached out to me wanting to do a crossover episode for this series between the Brewers and Arizona Diamondbacks. So certainly happy to do that. Great conversation with Millard. I was up front in the conversation. I don't know a ton about the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to assume that a lot of you don't either. So a really good conversation there if you're wanting to catch up on where the Diamondbacks are this season, where they are as a franchise. Make sure you give this podcast a listen, and you already are if you clicked on it to listen. So really good conversation here with Millard. We'll also have my conversation with Vinny Rotino, as I normally do on a Friday podcast as well, previewing game one of that series between the Brewers and Diamondbacks. So make sure that you check that out on Friday. But here is my conversation with Millard Thomas. And with us on this episode of Locked On Brewers, we have Millard Thomas of Locked On D-backs. Millard, so thanks so much for joining the show.
No worries, man. We just did the crossover on my end, so now I'm happy to hop on your podcast and do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you go over to Locked On D-backs and check out my interview with Millard, previewing this Brewers and Diamondbacks series, which is currently going on right now. Brewers looking like they're going to take game one of this series right now.
Sadly.
Sorry about that. But I want to get into the Diamondbacks a little bit because there's not a team, you know, obviously the Brewers face a lot. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't know a lot about this Diamondbacks team. So I'm hoping that you can educate me and educate our listeners on the Diamondbacks. But let's just start out. Give me your overall take on the Diamondbacks overall this season.
Well, it was a fun season to start. Back on May 2nd, we were 15-13, two games above 500. We were riding high. I never thought this team was going to be a contender, but I thought maybe a fringe wild card contender at best. I definitely thought we were going to be fighting for third, probably with the San Francisco Giants entering the year. It looked like that through the first 30 so games, and then the bottom completely fell out on us. We went on a 13-game losing streak. We've been struggling mightily with offense. We've been struggling mightily with pitching, both from the starting rotation and the bullpen. Right now, the rotation is being decimated by injuries. I believe four of the five rotation members are currently on the IL. Madison Bumgarner is placed on the 10-day injured list Thursday. So on Thursday, he was. So right now, the state of the D-backs, it's not too good. We're a team that can't hit and we can't pitch, but we got a couple fun players, at least in the lineup. Carson Kelly, he's making an all-star case. Ketel Marte looks to be back to MVP form. Escobar is at least smashing home runs left and right. Josh Rojas is having a pretty good season, having pretty much a breakout season in his career. And in the rotation, in the bullpen, there's not really much to look forward to there. We just got our few fun young guys in the lineup that we're looking forward to smashing the ball every night.
Yeah, certainly, you know, like we talked about on your show, you know, that it's been an up and down season for the Brewers as well, but the Diamondbacks are in a really tough division with the Dodgers and the Padres and the Giants, who surprisingly, you know, have been right up there at the top. So how difficult is that division for the Diamondbacks right now? You know, what are kind of your expectations in that division this year?
I mean, it's impossible for the D-backs because, I mean, they beat the Padres in one series earlier, but they get pretty much owned by their division. And when you got probably the two World Series favorites in the Dodgers and the Padres, and you're not a very good team in the D-backs, it makes it tough. And I had a lot of respect for the Giants entering the season. I did not disrespect them at all after their 2020. I thought the Giants were solid. I didn't think they were going to be, you know, where they are right now in the standings. But I thought they were definitely going to be fighting with the D-backs for third place in the division, because the Padres and Dodgers were clearly the two best teams in the division. But Giants have even been better than the high expectations I feel like I put on them. And then the D-backs have been even worse. I mean, at one point they were fourth in the division. It felt like they were clearly better than the Rockies. And then the Rockies in their last series swept the D-backs, and that has completely changed. The D-backs are just an awful team right now. And like I said before, rotation beat up, no one out the bullpen I trust, and their offense doesn't produce enough runs in the last 3 weeks to make it, you know, competitive ball game. So this D-backs team is infuriating to watch, but I still love them, and they got no chance against their division right now.
Yeah, that's certainly a hard place to be in. The Brewers are a little fortunate. The Central, both AL and NL, is not great, particularly great at the moment. And so it's definitely been to their benefit. The schedule for the Brewers is not that difficult because they're matched up with the AL Central again. So I feel bad for you in that respect. You got to go up against those three teams a lot this year. Certainly can't be a lot of fun. But I wanted to get your evaluation of where just the Diamondbacks are as a franchise. I know last year, you know, they made some moves. I think they went out and got Cole Calhoun. They got Madison Bumgarner to try to win. And then obviously the 2020 season happened. And where are the Diamondbacks currently in the state of a franchise?
Well, entering 2020, it felt like they were going in an upward trajectory. It felt like they were putting pieces together to at least put a team on the field that could compete, not in terms of a World Series, but at least be one of those, you know, middle teams that could be in the playoff mix without having real championship expectations. And that didn't happen in 2020. I mean, 2020 was a weird year, so you could throw that out for a lot of teams, but you know, the record has carried over from 2020. Right now, the D-backs team does not have enough talent, and this franchise does not want to spend money. So they're going to have to keep building this farm system and hopefully keep hitting on minor league talent. And that's a hard thing to do consistently, to keep hoping and putting all your eggs in a basket in the future and not the right now. I'm more of a person that believes in the philosophy of going out there and acquiring, you know, established major leaguers instead of just acquiring a whole bunch of prospects. So right now, the D-backs, I thought they had an upward trajectory entering 2020 based off a couple seasons where they won 80 plus games and they were competitive until the end. But 2020, 2021, this team looks like one of the worst teams in baseball, and it feels like we're going to be headed toward a hard rebuild. And hopefully that does not mean we trade Ketel Marte, because that dude is the face of the franchise, along with Zach Allen, of course.
This episode is brought to you by Sports Trade. Sports Trade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. And the more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Again, sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. This episode is also brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You will have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Brewers podcast throughout our Locker Room conversations. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. And follow me at ShortstopBall in the app to be notified when my room goes live. Speaking of big moves, I mean, I mentioned the Bumgarner move. I was one of those who thought Bumgarner was going to be a good signing. I've always kind of liked him, his mentality on the mound. But he hasn't been very good for the Diamondbacks over there. I know he had the 7-inning no-hitter this year against the Braves, but what are your thoughts on that signing and Bumgarner right now?
Man, I mean, 2020 was absolutely awful. He was atrocious in 2020. The first few starts of 2020 was not much different. If you combine 2020 and the first three starts he had in 2021, he was quite literally the worst pitcher in baseball during that span. He had the worst numbers, the worst metrics you can have. And then he went on this little five-start span where he was one of the best pitchers of all time, like non-hyperbolic. He had a 0.47 whip, the best since 1915 when Pete Alexander did it over a five-start span. So all of a sudden, Bumgarner seemed to be back in the tank. There's a lot of talk about, you know, April, May. Those are his slow months. He's a slow, you know, he's a slow builder. And I kind of drank the Kool-Aid a little bit, but now over his last few starts, he's been dealing with injuries, so that plays a part of to why he's looked a little off on the mound, but he's on the injured list right now. He's making $19 million this year. They make $23 annually the 2 years after that, so he's still got a lot of money left to be paid, the most money on the team, and I'm not feeling good about the contract. I mean, 3 years left. Madison Bumgarner, I think, can still be a solid pitcher. I don't think he's as bad as what we saw in 2020, the start of 2021, but his days of being an ace are definitely behind him. At this point, we got to hope he's a number three or a number four, I feel like. I mean, when we signed him, I thought he legitimately was still an ace, at least a high-end number two, a low-end number one. And I thought it was a steal when we got him, 5 years, 85. I did not think that was crazy money for the resume that Bumgarner had. But watching him on the mound, I should have talked to Ben Caspick of Locked On Giants before we signed him, because he said he would have warned me about how about the decline of Bumgarner, and he's been right. He's been right on the money. Bumgarner is in a steep decline. Last year, his fastball velocity was only around 88.5 miles per hour, but in 2021, it's around 90.5, around 91. So he's got the fastball velo back up, but to be on the injured list now after having that five-start historic span, where he absolutely balled out, it's tough for Bumgarner. It's been tough. It's been a tough pairing so far between him and the D-backs, but hopefully when he comes back, if he's fully healthy, he can get back to that little, you know, he's not going to be as good as that, what he was during that five-start span where he was putting up historic numbers, but if he could be somewhere in between that five-start span and being the atrocious version we saw in 2020, he could still be a solid pitcher for this D-backs rotation.
Yeah, I certainly hate to see it for Bumgarner. I mean, he's been one of my favorite pitchers. What he did for the Giants, you know, and helping them win those World Series was just legendary. I do think the Giants probably wore him out, but I mean, what are you gonna do when you're trying to win World Series? I mean, you know, you're gonna have those types of efforts. So I love Bumgarner. I hate to see him struggling like that. You know, I do hope he kind of figures it out and is able to at least be a serviceable $28 million a year guy or whatever it is for the Diamondbacks the next couple of years. But what does the future of the rotation look like for the Diamondbacks? I know you said they're a little beat up now, but who are some names in that starting rotation, you know, that we can look to in the future? I know right now you got Peacock starting. You had Duplantier starting on Thursday, Peacock starting on Friday, Kelly on Saturday, and to be determined on Sunday in this series. But who are some names that you're excited about in the starting rotation?
Yeah, listeners can't see, but I was just rubbing my forehead when you're reading all those names because those are just filling guys in the rotation right now. And the future, I mean, if you're talking about the next 3 years, I mean, you got to throw Bumgarner just because I don't know how we get out of that contract. Merrill Kelly, I don't expect him to be here for the long haul. He could be moved at the deadline. Zach Gallen is the guy. I mean, Zach Gallen is a true ace of this team. He's hurt right now, but he's one of the best pitchers truly in baseball when he's healthy. Luke Weaver, he was acquired in that Paul Goldschmidt trade, one of the centerpieces in that deal. Everyone talked about his potential and stuff of being a, you know, potential number two starter. And we just haven't seen that. We saw flashes of it in 2019 when he first came over. Atrocious 2020. It was really a debate who's worse, him or Bumgarner. And then 2021, he's been super up and down. He's basically a two-pitch guy now, fastball, changeup. So really, I don't know who's going to be in this rotation. The D-backs have a lot of minor league guys, a lot of young prospects in Corbin Martin, JB Berskakis, sure, John Duplantier today. We'll see what kind of career he has. But honestly, the only guy I could guarantee that's going to be in this rotation for the next 3 to 5 years is Zach Gallen, because he's still only, what, 25 years old, and he's a beast. I love Zach Gallen and everyone else in the rotation. You could take him or leave him for me.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly, you know, like Gallen. Fortunately, I guess Brewers aren't going to see him in this series, but unfortunately would like to see him pitch because he is just one of the best up-and-coming starting pitchers in all of baseball. Moving to the offensive side of things, I know, you know, you got some names there. You got Eduardo Escobar, Carson Kelly, Ketel Marte, David Peralta. You know, those are guys, you know, been around for a little bit that we're aware of, but who are some players on in the lineup on offense that you're really excited about for this team?
Yeah, Ketel Marte probably has to be number one just because he's the best offensive player we have, fourth in MVP voting in 2019. You could win a lot of bar bets with that fun fact. And then you got Carson Kelly, who I think is going to be an all-star this year. He's been a stud all year. Second best OPS among all catchers. You got Josh Rojas, who's having a pretty nice season as well, probably his breakout year. And then I think someone you actually have to watch out for who was a first rounder for the D-backs, I believe 2017, it could be 2016, but I believe 2017. That is Pavin Smith, because right now with his 290 batting average, I believe he's like seventh in the National League in average with that 290 average, 804 OPS. This was a guy who was a first baseman in college in the minor leagues, but because of injuries this year, he's basically been an everyday corner outfielder. He's been above average defensively out there, and it's been a huge surprise. He's worked really hard in the offseason on defensive drills, on his agility, and it's really come together. So Pavin Smith, young guy, he's been someone to really keep an eye on. Carson Kelly, Ketel Marte, and Josh Rojas are probably my core four of guys that I'm really are the main reasons of why I'm turning on D-backs games, as they pretty much lose every night.
No, like I said, I know the Diamondbacks typically have a pretty good offense, playing a pretty good stadium for that. So, I know those are some exciting names. Good to see Pavin Smith getting going. I know he was a high draft pick out of Virginia back in the day. So good to see him kind of break out there. Moving to the bullpen, and I know you talked about this in our conversation, not really much to see there as Ketel Marte drives in a run, your guy there.
Hey.
But who are some names out of the bullpen, if there are any, just based on our conversation before, there might not be much, but what are some big names in the bullpen to look to?
I mean, there are big names in there. I don't know if they're performing, but there are big names in there. I mean, we got Joaquin Soria, who actually has been solid recently. So let me not crap on Soria too much. He actually has, what's his ERA here? 3.27 ERA. He was struggling to start the year. He's actually been fine recently. Alex Young, 3.8 ERA. He's been fine recently as well. He's had some up and downs. I guess Caleb Smith, who was so bad as a rotation member, we had to move him to the bullpen, and he actually turned out to be a better bullpen guy than rotation guy, because he was just a home run machine when he was in the starting rotation. He's pretty much cleaned that up. So I guess that's the three best relievers, Soria, Caleb Smith, and Alex Young. But if you're telling me it's a high leverage moment, you know, two outs, bases loaded, I got bringing one guy into the game from the bullpen, I'd rather put myself into the game, honestly, because I don't trust any of these guys.
The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a wide variety of flavors, not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and creams, which are still some of my favorites, but they have a bunch of different flavors from coconut to almond, toffee to mint, and peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry. There's a really ton of interesting flavors, cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a unique taste, something that tastes good, and it's not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle that's very easy to chew, easy to get down. They're very good, very tasty, and they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or just an afternoon snack like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein. There aren't a lot of carbs involved, so it's a good treat for you to be able to have. And they taste amazing. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today and try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com today and use that promo code LOCKEDON15. So let's look to the future a little bit here, because I mean, clearly, no offense, it doesn't seem like the Diamondbacks are going to be much of a player this season. You know, again, they're in a really tough division. I get that. Do you see the Diamondbacks becoming sellers at the trade deadline?
Oh, yeah, they're probably going to be sellers. I mean, hey,
okay. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to offend anyone, you know, yeah. But
hey, we still got 100 games left. So you never know. You can always turn the season around. But yeah, there'll probably be sellers. I mean, I would help chip in if anyone wanted to take Bumgarner's contract, but I don't think anyone is going to. But someone like Merrill Kelly, who's pretty cheap, who could be, you know, a back end rotation guy, he could be moved. Maybe Eduardo Escobar. He hasn't really gotten on base. He's not really hitting for average, but he's one of the NL leaders in RBIs, and he has 13 home runs on the season as well. So maybe American League team, if they want a DH, just wants to go get a slugger, someone like him, a David Peralta, Cole Calhoun, pretty much anyone over the age of like 32, I would assume could be on the block for this D-backs team because all their best players are 28 and younger, 29 and younger. I mean, Ketel Marte might be their oldest. I mean, Ketel Marte is still only 27 years old. Maybe a guy like Christian Walker, who's only 30 years old. Maybe he's like that cutoff point for, do you move him? Do you keep him? But I assume anyone 32, 31 and older, it has a chance of being moved at the deadline because I don't see why this team would be buyers at the deadline.
Yeah, I think the Brewers and Diamondbacks actually have a good chance of hooking up this year because, like I said, the Brewers have really been struggling offensively. They could use some huge help at the corner infield positions. So, you know, you mentioned guys like Christian Walker, Eduardo Escobar. I mean, the Brewers desperately need some power in their lineup. I think Escobar is a guy who really makes sense. Ketel Marte makes sense, but I know you don't want to trade
him.
But yeah, I think Escobar is a guy. I mean, he does bring a lot of, you know, swing and miss to the lineup as well. But I mean, that power, I mean, 13 home runs, I think, you know, that would toast anybody on the Brewers right now. So I think there's some potential there for this team to meet up in a trade this year with what the Brewers need and what the Diamondbacks have to trade away. I think Escobar makes a lot of sense. And, you know, like we said, we talked about with Smith kind of emerging, him being able to take over that first base spot, perhaps Walker becomes available. I see he's only played 22 games this year. Is that injury related?
Oh, Christian Walker. Yeah. He's been on the injured list like a couple times this year. Nothing major, but just like an oblique thing here, like oblique strain here, something else. Yeah, just like little 10-day injured stuff, but nothing really that serious this year. And if you're talking about doing trades for Eduardo Escobar, you guys got like three good rotation members. You don't need all three. So if you could send over a Woodruff or a Freddie Peralta, I think I would take that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I definitely think the powers to be can work something out there. Definitely think there's a possibility for us to meet up. We may have to get back together here. We get closer to the trade deadline, come up with some mock trades. Cause like I said, I think there's the potential for something to happen there. Cause I do think the Brewers are going to go in for it for this division. We talked about it, you know, on your podcast. I definitely think the Brewers should want to win this year, especially with that core of pitching that we talked about. So I think they will be active at the trade deadline. Again, they've already gone out and traded for Willy Adames to make an upgrade at shortstop. But I still think they're very weak at the corner infield spots and will look to improve those positions during the season. But Miller, that's all I have for you. Let the folks know where they can find you.
Yeah, follow me on my personal Twitter at CreatorThomas24. And if you want to follow the show account, just look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks so much for having us. And make sure you go and check out a Locked On D-backs to see our conversation over there. And that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall and follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. And make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.